I am an everyday a touch of mascara kind of gal, though I love a full glam moment. So whether I'm simply just adding my Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara by Thrive Cosmetics, or adding their highlighter, eyeliner, or eyeshadow to my full glam, Thrive has been my go-to since 2020 for most of my makeup products, so that's why I'm so excited that they're sponsoring this episode. And why do I love them? Well, not only is their quality and their application just chef's kiss, but also the causes they support. In fact, it's in the name, Thrive Cosmetics. C-A-U-S-E Medics. Thrive Cosmetics and Bigger Than Beauty Skincare exist to empower their customers, employees, and giving partners to live their most confident lives. And so they believe in responsive giving. And so thanks to your support, they either donate their high performance products or much needed funds to help communities thrive. Can't emphasize enough how great their mascara is. Their unique formula creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. Plus, it's incredibly easy to remove. Just a gentle wash with warm water, and it doesn't leave any smudges. The nourishing ingredients also support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And let me tell you, as someone with blonde eyebrows, I really do appreciate the natural look of their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. This easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder. So just a few strokes to the line of your brows and fill in any sparse areas, and it comes with a little spoolie brush to lift and tame your brows afterwards. So with 8 shades to choose from, you'll always find the perfect match for your natural brow hair color. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 10% off your first order.
The thing about it is that a lot of times people think, so my story feels too personal or too hard to tell, or people feel on the other side, like, I don't feel like I have one of those stories. I don't really know what my story is. The truth of the matter is that your story is not about what happened to you or about what you did. It's about who you've chosen to be given that.
Hello, hello, yo me's. My name is Raquel and welcome to Your Own Magic, a podcast for the creative and the curious soul, and also where we explore the power of storytelling and human connection, and that is why I'm really excited about today's episode. So we have the pleasure of diving into the world of transformative narratives with Heather Box. Heather is a humanitarian, the co-founder of The Million Person Project, and author of How Your Story Sets You Free, which is what we talk about, how our story sets us free. I mean, she has such a passion for this topic and for empowering us to discover and share our authentic stories. So through her work with the Million Person Project and with her husband, Julian, this project has touched the lives of thousands across 70 countries, guiding everyone to unlock our potential, our transformative potential with our personal narratives. I just know you'll enjoy Heather's insights and her magic. And you also might be interested in the top icebreaker questions to ask when you first meet someone and you want to make them feel more open to you, or you just want the conversation to dig a little deeper versus the small talk. We talk about the importance of eliminating the small talk and how storytelling can catalyze positive change in our lives and communities. And also, her grandma Bina passed away at the age of 100 just days before recording this. So this episode is dedicated to Grandma Bina's beautiful legacy, and Heather carries on her kind and compassionate spirit throughout it. So with that being said, I believe it is time to let the magic begin with Heather Box. Mm-hmm. Heather. I'm so excited to have you on the show. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So what is lighting you up most in this season of your life?
You know, I think it's a little bit, it's more, instead of maybe lighting me up, it's like filling me up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more sad than you would think. But I think, you know, I'm really reconciling with just impermanence and death. And I think what's really lighting me up, or what's really filling me up, is this, is just the feeling that we can still be with the people that we love that have died. There are just like, if we're open enough, and if there's, you know, it can be so magical, the synchronicities around people who have passed away. And that is like making me feel so whole.
That's so beautiful.
That's what's lighting me up.
Not an easy time right now.
No.
But I want to honor for a minute Grandma Bina, the beautiful Grandma Bina, who just passed away this weekend at 100 years old. Do you want to talk about her for a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. So my grandma, Bina Luther, she was 174 days when she passed away. And she was just the most incredible teacher to me. I literally have learned so much about the world through being with her. And even down until the last moments of her life, I was learning from her in the way that she was surrendered to the end of her life, and the grace in which she, you know, when she couldn't walk anymore, the grace in which she accepted that. And Grandma is just, she was the best. And one of the things that I think that I really appreciate her about her is that every single time she spoke to someone, it was like she had such unusually clear eyes to be able to see the person. It's, she would say like, wow, you are so beautiful. I really love your eyes. Or she would say, I noticed how kind that was, the way that you helped your kid up. Like even in the grocery store, she would say that kind of stuff to people.
Oh.
She just noticed kindness and care all around her. It was the view she had of the world. And to me, I learned so much from that. Because there's so many other ways to be, right? You can analyze someone and you can be like, they don't seem this or they don't seem that. But she only saw, or she cared to only reflect the care and the love. And that to me is so special.
That is so, so beautiful. The grace and wisdom I can only fathom that she carried is unparalleled.
Yeah.
And the fact that you were able to see her at her 100 years of wisdom and grace and kindness, you are carrying that with you. And she's probably so proud of you too for everything you're doing. You're a humanitarian and also a story coach, which I'm fascinated about. I'm like, what's a story coach? So I'd love to hear your story of you and becoming a humanitarian and story coach.
Yeah. I think she was really proud of me and interested in what I was doing. And she was always wanting to hear the stories of the people that I was being a story coach for. And a story coach is somebody, so what I do is I run a company called the Million Person Project, and I exist to help people tell their truest personal stories publicly. So a big part of that is first exploring your story and really, pulling out those life experiences, the turning points, the influential people, the moments of challenge, moments of celebration, moments that changed your beliefs about the world and shaped your values. And then it's about honing that story and being able to craft a narrative with it. So there's lots of people I work with that do TED Talks or keynote addresses or, you know, are out there breaking stigma or writing stories about a given subject. And we help them to really get their story ready for that level of sharing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. We're able to capture Grandma Bina's story.
Yes. We have so many great videos and audios of Grandma.
Beautiful. You should write it all out. Can you also tell us about the inspiration behind the Million Person Project and also how that came into fruition?
Yeah. So the Million Person Project is, it's my life's work. And I do it with my husband, Julian, and together we are committed to, over the course of our life, helping 1 million changemakers to tell their truest personal story. And the reason why we believe that that is a worthwhile contribution is because we believe that when right now in our culture, when you look out at our culture, you can see that there's a lot of kind of sick storytellers. And there's a lot of people telling us that we're really separate from each other. There's a lot of people telling us, no, that person's an other. That person doesn't matter as much. Those people are dangerous. Those people are going to ruin the world, or whatever the narrative is.
That is our world today.
Yeah. And we believe, and we see this because we're a global project. So we've worked with people from 70 different countries. And we have seen that when people come together and share their stories, it is almost immediate the understanding and connection that's built when someone is sharing their most authentic story. And that's why there's ripples out from that. And that's why we believe that getting 1 million people to tell their story and supporting them in that journey is going to have that ripple effect out on our culture to make it more open and more reflective of who we truly are as people.
I love that. What a way to unite people and also find compassion for someone who might have a completely different perspective or view than you do on the world. And you can see like, oh, wait, but at the same time, we're both human going through very similar experiences and they can find that connection. So I love this. And your book, How Your Story Sets You Free, emphasizes the power of storytelling, of course. So how did you discover the transformative potential of personal narrative?
Yeah, you know, I think I grew up in a really small town in Northern California called Sebastopol. And I kind of had one of those childhoods that sounds like it's from the 50s, you know, where we didn't lock our doors and we would just wander around the streets. And when it was dinner time, like dad would do one of those really big whistles and I would be able to hear him from wherever I was in the neighborhood and I'd come running home for dinner.
Yep, yep.
And yeah, in that town, I felt really safe and really cared for because, you know, the neighbors were watching out for me and this and that. And, but I think at the same time, I had this sense that there was like this big wide world out there that was way different. And, you know, it was kind of cookie cutter there, like the two kids and the picket fence and everybody was kind of doing the same thing. And that to me I really had this like yearning to like know the person most different from me in the world. You know, I remember people used to come. We one time like had these speakers that came from in high school from the Amazon that lived in the jungle and they were protecting the natural resources in the jungle and they were sharing their story. And I waited and waited and waited to get to talk to them afterwards because I was just so moved. Like, how amazing that there are people that are living in the jungle and really, really protecting the earth. And I was so inspired by them. And so I always had this pull to go outward and find new story.
That is so cool. And how long have you been doing this, going out, exploring, and also meeting new people from different countries to hear their story and connect with them?
Yeah, so we started in 2011. Nice. Yeah, it's been a long time. And we've had the opportunity to work with activists and change makers and on the ground in Vietnam, South Africa, Uganda, all across the Pacific Islands, Brazil, Turkey, all across the US. And we've really seen that there are so many people around the world doing such good work. And when they stand up and share their stories, it really amplifies the impact that they're having because people can understand their why and what is motivating them. And it's just so, so incredible to see those human beings behind the good work. And, you know, we work with a lot of social entrepreneurs, people who have businesses who are selling cool products and services. And a lot of times people just tell the story of the business and not of them. You know, and that's what as humans, we really want to know is what is your why? What is your story that drives you to do what you want to do? And what are the obstacles that you have navigated in your life to be able to, you know, to bring forth this story.
I love that. Plus, it's not only great for your business or your career or whatever you want to do, but also you get to see, when you do this, you get to see that man is good. You know, you're going out there. You said that there's so many people from these 70 different countries doing good work and some sort of humanitarian or activism work. And so it kind of gives me more hope. I love seeing people help the world today, going out there with all the chaos instead of, you know, blaming others, but going out there and helping others. Yeah. I love that. And so what are some of the most memorable experiences in this, or stories or moments that you've encountered while working on this project?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the most memorable clients that I've ever had, she's now a really good friend of mine, but you know, in our process together, it was so memorable, was this artist named Caledonia Curry. Her artist name is Swoon. And she's a really awesome, successful artist that's showing in museums all over the world and, you know, getting to speak on these platforms and getting invited to really big stages. And when I met her, she had said to me, "So yeah, I get to do all this cool stuff all over the world, telling, you know, sharing my art, but you know, I'm not telling my story. And I'm purposely not telling my story because I don't know what the world would think of me if I started to share my story, but I'm having a calling to tell it." And so we worked together to help her first own her story for herself, and then craft a narrative to be able to tell her story of what it was like to grow up in her childhood home, where her parents were addicted to heroin, and she was having, for part of her childhood, her dad got sober, and so that was helpful. But it was, how did that experience growing up in that kind of household influence the way that she sees the world and the art that she does? And it had a really big impact, because one of the things that she was going through was, the whole world looks at people who are suffering from addiction and they say things like, "Why the despicable behavior? Like, why are you doing this? Like, why aren't you taking care of your kids?" You know, and she felt that judgment all throughout her childhood. And she even had that judgment towards her parents. And then when she was like 30 years old, she started to really ask the question, why the pain? What is underneath these behaviors and these addictions? There's unresolved pain. And how did that come to be? Like, mom, what happened? Why did you start using at such a young age? Like, what? And to get to watch Caledonia's process of really coming out and becoming an advocate in the community around addiction and getting into the conversations around compassion and really building understanding so that we can help, because it doesn't help to just ostracize someone. It doesn't help. It makes the problem worse. So that was one of the most memorable stories, because she once she started speaking out, she was, you know, getting on CNN and getting, you know, invited to these big stages. And it was just so, the world was craving her story and people were coming, tons of children and family members of people that are suffering from addiction were coming to her and saying, thank you. I've never shared that. I've always hidden it from my friends, and you know, and you coming out and owning your story has given me permission to own mine. And that's really the ripple that I love to see in the world. And just Swoon's courage is like palpable. Like, she was so nervous and she was so worried, and she did it anyway. And that's just the beautiful thing that I see happen every day. And I feel like I have the most beautiful view of humanity because of the work that I do.
That is amazing. Caledonia sounds like a phenomenal, phenomenal human. And it is nice to hear that she is sharing that very, very, very vulnerable story. But most people, I feel like, and hopefully she ended up seeing this, I'm sure she did. Most people, when you are vulnerable, you're not actually likely, I feel like, to be met with judgment, except for maybe very, very spiteful people that, you know, you don't need to care what they think anyway. I think most people are going to find compassion or an authentic connection even with you. And I think that's a beautiful that she was able to get that off her chest. How did it influence her artwork after opening up to the world, opening up her story to the world?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just created a level of understanding of what her art was for the people who were viewing it.
Yes.
Because we got to hear from her, and then we would look at her art differently because we would see that we would see kind of the values that are within that work. And she's just such a beautiful person, and her art is so beautiful that everybody likes her art, you know, anyway. But when you get to know the story underneath it and you get to see the way that she sees the world, it's such a bridge.
I love that. I'm going to have to check out Swoon. Swoon's her artist name. I love that. Yeah. Okay, Swoon, everyone.
Okay, this is pretty awesome. So if you are into science-backed products when it comes to your health, your gut health, but also woman-owned products, I must introduce you to Equilibria. I'm so thankful I discovered them this year. I mean, Equilibria, they help you take on your wellness journey knowing that you have a dedicated one-on-one support to help you achieve your goals. So it's not like you're just taking a pill mindlessly. You actually get one-on-one support. That's awesome. And their signature product, which is EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense, it comes in a convenient 3-in-1 capsule form. And so this is specifically formulated to bolster digestive health and fortify gut barrier protection, among other benefits. And we know that a balanced gut not only enhances our immunity, but also contributes to our overall mental well-being and our quality of sleep, of course, having efficient digestion and even radiant skin. But what distinguishes Equilibria's probiotic supplement is its meticulous selection, which is tailored to women's health needs. And of course, like I said, science-backed, and they're also ensuring affordability without compromising potency. And as someone who once struggled pretty severely with gut health issues for years, I intensified my focus on gut health in, I'd say, around 2020. And I'm thrilled to have recently discovered these products this year, as of course, they're backed by research for women's well-being, they're women-owned, and they support overall microbiome health, warding off harmful bacteria and enhancing our nutrient absorption. So head to myeq.com and use code MAGIC for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com. And use code MAGIC at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
With Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about something truly special for your mama? I am. And let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? So here is how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email, and these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And then mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And then guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. You get to preserve her voice and her stories for your family. I mean, imagine you're discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, the challenges that she had to overcome in life, the way that you two connect and relate, and also the way her grandkids will relate to her. I mean, this book becomes a legacy and something that you and your future generations can truly treasure forever. I mean, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories, so this is your chance to give her a way to share them. And not only am I creating one for my mom now for Mother's Day, but for my dad's birthday, as my dad is turning 80 this year, and I like to gift him with sentimental gifts. You know, he's gifted my family and I so many treasured moments. So I wanted to create something for us to collect these memories and for my future kids for them to know my father's voice. So beautiful, sentimental, easy to use. Let me emphasize, easy to use. And you can truly create one for anyone. Your mom, your dad, your bestie, maybe even you. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC for 10% off today. And then in your work, you emphasize the importance, like we were talking about, of authentic connection. Do you mind sharing some practical tips to foster genuine connections, especially in a world dominated with very surface level interactions, especially in the beginning?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because there's a lot of applications to personal storytelling, you know, whether you're writing a book or doing a TED talk or speaking from stages, like that all makes sense of why you would want to tell your story and really share vulnerably. But there's other applications to this work that I think is so important, and that is just in the interpersonal. I like to share this moment that happened to me at the very beginning. It was like 2012, and we had a 2-day workshop in a bookstore in San Francisco. And, you know, we had walked everybody through this process of life mapping, which is one of the practical tools that I feel that I want to share with all of you. So life mapping is just, you get a big piece of paper and you start from the beginning of your life and you map out influential people, turning points, moments of challenge, moments of celebration, and moments where your beliefs about the world were being formed or shifted. And as you're mapping that out, it's, you know, people are usually drawing stick figures and little symbols. You know, it's not writing, it's drawing. You draw that out. And then in this 2-day workshop that was in the bookstore, we had people share with partners and, you know, and then from that life map, you go and create a narrative that you might share in your life and work, whatever. Well, after the 2 days of the workshop in the bookshop, this guy came up to me and he said, "Look, I sat here for 2 days listening to you all about sharing your narrative and how important it is and how impactful it can be at work and you know, and I'm never going to share mine. I'm very shy. And I work in a place where it doesn't feel like I would want to do that. But I want to tell you that I'm going home tonight and I'm going to share my life map with my 3 boys. Because I realize that I've never let my kids know who I am. And they know my values. They know what I expect of them. They know what I want for them. But they don't know why. They don't know the life experiences that shape that." And that to me was one of the most meaningful experiences that I've had in my work, because imagine what that was like for those 3 boys to get to hear their dad's journey. What a gift. And so that's one of the, you know, one of the practical tips that I want everybody to do is just to create that life map first and foremost for themselves. And then to find, to consider who might you want to share this with. And it could just be a friend that you really love that you want to share it with. And people always think, "Oh, but isn't that kind of weird to just talk about myself and share all my stuff?" Like, you know, and literally 10 out of 10 times that people share their life map, literally always, what the reaction is, "Thank you so much for sharing that with me. That was so generous of you to share that with me. I appreciate that so much." It's like we think people are going to be like, "Oh, you talk too much. You took up too much time." And what really people think is like, "You just like gave me a gift by letting me know who you truly are." And so that's what I really encourage people to do, is that life mapping exercise.
Because not only are you able to express this to others, but you get to know yourself more and know your truth more, which is something I know that you emphasize. You've mentioned the importance of knowing your truth. So how can we discern our truth amidst all this societal expectations and personal doubts?
Yeah, I love that question, because The thing about it is that a lot of times people think, oh, so my story feels too personal or too hard to tell, or people feel on the other side, like, I don't feel like I have one of those stories. I don't really know what my story is. And the truth of the matter is that your story is not about what happened to you or about what you did. It's about who you've chosen to be given that. So that's what this process of really knowing yourself is about, is really understanding that your story, when you look at your story and you look at your life map, yeah, there's things that you wish that you wouldn't have done, of course. There's things that you may desperately wish were not done to you. There, most people have regrets. It's like, we don't want to, but most of us do.
It's reality.
Yeah. And so given all of that though, who have you chosen to be? Look at who you are and look at like what a stand, look at how, you know, look at what a stand you are for love in your family and your community. Look at like all the energy you bring to work and all the goodness that you are sharing in the world. We want to know how you became that person. And so it's really about values. So when I say your story is not about what happened to you or about what you did, it's about who you've chosen to be. It's what values have you chosen to live with because of these life experiences. So a lot of times people will have their values shaped by somebody who modeled great values for them, right? Like Grandma Bina.
Yeah.
But sometimes people have their values shaped in contrast to their experience. And they think, I will never do that to my kid, or I will never, you know. And so when we get to understand that values formation, it really helps us to understand who you are.
I love that. And also for myself as well, my grandma Nina definitely shaped a lot of my values. I mean, especially her kindness and compassion. She was the kindest person I know, and I still have known. And, you know, so it's just beautiful that we had these wonderful grandmas in our lives.
I know.
And shape this.
Yeah. And I love that you shared about Grandma Nina. I mean, one of the things that we do in our work is when we're doing story work and we look at an influential person, we ask ourselves, what was our belief about the world before we met this person, or if we knew them our whole life before we understood this person?
Ooh.
And what was our belief about the world after?
Chills.
So, yeah. And so like with your grandma Nina, like when you really think, how did she shift your beliefs about the world?
Yeah.
That's the story. That's where we're going to connect to you, because we're really going to get to understand you through her.
Oof.
And that's really, really powerful.
And get to know her through me.
Exactly.
Get to know Grandma Bina through you.
Yeah.
Because we have a part of them with us, and so we carry part of them with us. And I love this. This concept resonates with me deeply. Know your neighbor. You're like a woman, Mr. Rogers. Or know your neighbor, especially in today's fast-paced world. And, you know, we often don't knock on our neighbor's doors anymore just to say hello or drop off some cookies. People kind of keep to themselves. So how can we cultivate authentic connections and support one another amidst all the challenges of modern day life?
Yeah. You know, I think when you start living out loud and you start being committed to living your values, you start to really reach out more and to realize like, hey, I have something to contribute. And, you know, people, you know, it's like people think, okay, know your neighbor, like, okay, all these big problems in the world, like how is knowing my neighbor gonna do anything, right? But really, it's a very, very radical act to be in loving community with the people around you and to really know them and to accept them, even though you may not think exactly like them. That is the healthy fabric of society, is that interconnectedness of the people that you are interacting with. And so if you want to know your neighbor and you want to, it can be as simple as saying, come on over for tea or come on over for coffee or whatever, or a glass of wine, and saying, hey, I was reading this book about storytelling and I wanted us to go around and share a couple things. Like, and one of the things that you can do that is really easy to get to know another person, one of the questions that you can ask is, tell us about someone influential to you growing up, just like you did with Grandma Nina and I did with Grandma Bina.
Yeah.
is like when somebody, because there can be a barrier to asking someone about their story, like, what's your deepest, darkest truth? You're like, do you have any secrets? Like, what's the hardest thing you've ever been through?
People will be like, I don't know you. I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah. Unless it's me, your audience isn't going to react well.
Right.
So asking someone though, something like, hey, what was an important place to you growing up?
I like that.
Or who was an influential person to you in your life? Or what's the one of the most important lessons that you've learned and who taught it to you?
Yeah.
Those are questions that really foster connection. You would be surprised how open everybody is. I mean, I went to this 4-day conference once and I just decided as an experiment, I'm not going to ask a single person what they do, or I'm just going to ask who was someone influential to you growing up. And like, I had the best time.
Yeah.
For 4 days, I just got to hear people would be like, oh my God, thank you so much. I thought it was going to be so awkward. And people would be like, thank you so much for asking. My brother, blah, blah, blah. Oh my God, I can't. My neighbor growing up, she saved me. Like, it was just one after another. And I was like, this is so much better than like, hey, what do you do? And then the person's kind of nervous and then they're trying to give you your pitch and then you don't really understand what they're doing, but you just go, cool,
Oh, I hate that question anyway. When people ask what I do for a living, I don't know why. I'm like, I'm not. It feels too surface level and it's not me,
Yeah. And I don't think anybody feels like really, they feel kind of on the spot sometimes when you ask that question. Yeah. And even though you're on the spot for who was someone influential to you growing up or what's an important place to you in your life, it's really meaningful to you. So you feel like, hey, wait a second, I want to share.
Yeah.
This is something I want to share about.
Yeah, I love that. That's so beautiful. What are some other questions that we could ask?
Yeah, I think I experiment with these all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of, in the leadership community, there's a lot of people, who are doing story work like for their jobs and they want, they want to improve themselves as a leader or a manager. One of the important questions in that category can be like, when was a time in your life that you recognized that you had the power to create change? Big or small?
Whoa.
Big or small or tiny.
Yeah.
Tell us about that moment. And that question is really, if you have a go around at work or you give people that prompt to think on the night before and then they could write or they have 5 minutes to write and then share parts of it. That question really, you learn so much about people and the way that they either realized, that they could help somebody at school or they realized that when, they wanted a different school lunch program, they could change it, and a lot of times it's little kid stuff. Like they, like one of my stories is that, when I was in like sixth grade, I noticed how some kids like weren't being really taking me and my friends. We noticed like some kids weren't being taken care of by their parents. Right. Like it was like, they would be stuck at school till 8 o'clock at night waiting for their parents to pick them up and they would never come and they wouldn't have, money for lunch or they wouldn't have food in for their sandwiches. And so we started this club called Kids for Kids and we would just wait with kids after school. And it was like, whatever, we're cool. We got time. Like we're kids, you can have, we'll ask our mom to put in second microwave burrito in our lunch,
That's so great.
And like, that made me really realize, like, that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And like, I don't need an adult to help me do that.
Yeah.
You know? And that was a small moment for me. And you could get to learn those kind of moments from people when you ask them when they realized that they had the power to create change, big or small, in the world.
And also you get to reflect yourself on a moment that perhaps you got to help create change, big or small, and you get to learn more about yourself and your values, plus then also learn more about others. Because it's important. It's important that we know why we think the way we do, why our perspective is the way we are. Because we don't often sit there and think about this, you know, unless maybe you are a frequent avid journaler or you do already deal with work like this. Not a lot of people sit there and actually think about this for themselves. And I think it's important to even think of not just like, well, a lot of people might be like, I need to think of a big moment. But no, I think the small moments are very meaningful as well.
Yeah, I really do too. And I think we learn a lot from each, you know, I think our culture is so guarded and we don't share almost anything, you know, it's like, so many people in the world, it's like they've only ever told their therapist this thing about their, you know, and I'm hoping that that's changing, that, you know, Gen Z is more open and more themselves and saying this doesn't define me. And, you know, but, you know, we see that culture does shift, you know, like the Me Too movement, when everybody started telling their stories, it was like, that shifted. That created a huge difference. Like, laws are different. You know, there's so, but also the way people feel, they don't feel like I'm the only one in the world that has gone through this. And that's what, when, a lot of times when we've been through something hard or violent or, you know, scary, a lot of times we think we're the only ones on the planet that, and we have to bury it in order to be accepted. And when we decide that we can let somebody in on that, we realize both that the person a lot of times accepts us for that, and it influences culture to be more true. Yes. And open.
Yes, yes. And I want to expand more on this as we look ahead and envision the future of storytelling. What else do you think might create a social impact and foster empathy on a global scale when it comes to storytelling?
Yeah, I mean, like, we need nuanced, true storytelling right now in our world very badly. Like, politics in globally is a wild mess where we just literally see someone's bumper sticker and they're dead to us, right? Like, we would never consider.
Or we just dismiss.
Yeah. It's like we would never talk to that person. Like, we would go the other way. Like, we don't even want to stand behind someone in line who's wearing the wrong hat. Or, you know?
Right.
The wrong team on it. And that's like, that's really depressing.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to get better if we dig our heels in around our separation. It's not going to get better.
Yeah.
And this isn't like a Pollyanna view of the world. Like, there is really deep rifts to reconcile, and there is like restorative justice that needs to be done for the wrongs that have happened. Mm-hmm. But we have to be able to share our stories and see one another as at least as a first step. Because until we can understand that that person isn't the monster that we have projected them to be, until we understand their true motivations that are usually similar to our true motivations, they believe that the world is going to get better if they do this. It's like, so my vision is a world where we can truly, truly know one another and we can see one another. And that doesn't mean that we have to agree with each other, but that, and it doesn't mean that we might not still be on opposing sides of a, you know, of politics or of whatever, you know, but but we have care for their humanity and for our own during the process. We don't disregard them as a human being, you know? And they may be they may be showing us that they are disregarding life. And so we look at them and we say, you are disregarding human life. Like you, I hate you, right? And what that does in the world is create more hate. If we can look at that person and we can say, what you are doing is absolutely unjustifiable. It is injuring our humanity. But if we can still see their humanity, if we can still see a tiny sliver of it, like the way they love their child, or the way that they care for elders or something, you know, if we can see one thing, and then we can have hope. Then we can have hope that we can come together and that we can stop what, you know, and that you lose your own humanity when you declare somebody else like inhumane. When you say like that, you know, when you say like there's that, I hate that person. There's no hope for that person. This is, you know, this is the worst person in the world. When you do that, you actually lose your own humanity. And so it's taking us all down. And so to bring us back up together and to build a new world together, we have to be able to believe in each other and to be able to see that there's a sliver of hope in every human being, even if they're doing totally unthinkable harm, and that that person can, and that you can still love in spite of all of this, harshness.
Yeah. I feel like that could be a beautiful perspective, but that's also not easy when you look at certain situations. So man, getting past that, well, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy.
No, it's not easy. And it's like, for me all the time, I believe this with all of my heart, and it is still really, really hard not to condemn people, to look out at the world and just be like, you're a crazy person. This is exceedingly violent. This is terrible. Mm-hmm. This is racist. This is, you know, all of these things. And yes, all of those things are true. And in order for me to continue in the work and to not take myself down, I have to be able to still love. I have to be able to still love. And I have to believe that people are redeemable and that they are worthy of my love.
It's just not easy when you're talking about certain situations. And I'm thinking of certain people, especially maybe more public figures, than if there's anything racist or anti-Semitic or whatever. I really do have a hard time finding love for that person. I do.
Yeah. No, and so do I. But when, you know, when you look at this on a personal level, like, you know, we've done this work so much in prisons. And so we work with people who are serving life sentences for murder. And we work with them on their story. And it is not, it is very possible to be able to love somebody in spite of their choices. And you know, I'm in a writer's group with a lot of Vietnam vets, and, you know, they have committed incredible crimes, war crimes, during their service. And they are having to reconcile that within themselves still as 79-year-olds. And thank God we didn't throw them away and say, you're hopeless, because they're getting to go through a process of being a loving contribution to the world. But if you would have seen them in the middle of their service, in a war that was illegal, you know, you would have thought this is the worst person in the whole world, you know, but saying this person is committing unbelievable, terrible acts, and I still believe they're worthy of love, and I still believe that they're worthy of transformation, and that they're of reconciliation. I believe that, and the door is open with me.
Totally. Also with them, though, they were I hate saying product of their environment. That sounds so dehumanizing, but this is what they knew. That was the world they knew. That was the only thing they knew. My dad's a Vietnam War vet. You know, it's the only thing they knew, right? They thought that this is what they had to do. People who were, in a sense, told to do certain things, it's easy for me to find compassion for them easily. It's the tellers. It's the people that are committing the war crimes. Say and go do this. I have a hard time with them.
Yeah. And it's, you know, people have really lost their way.
Yeah.
They've really lost their way. And when you get into it with almost anybody, in my experience, even the people leading the charge, even the head of the gang or the head of the military or the, you know, even when you get into those situations, you start to realize like, a lot of times they are acting out of something that is not true, right? They're acting out of a sick belief, and it's just a belief. It's not who they are. It's not, I mean, you know, when you see a baby be born, you can't imagine that they're anything but love, right? And I really think that people get so hurt and they get so sick and they get so brainwashed that they really lose their way.
That's so true. But you don't have to have that hate in your heart, which is worse for you.
Yeah, it's worse for you. And it's going to take you down. You know, you'll lose your motivation if you are motivated by hate.
So I wanted to wrap this up with a little more of Grandma Bina and how she was such an influential person in your life. I would love to know about her and her story.
Yeah, so Grandma was amazing. And she, one of my favorite things about Grandma is that she lived in LA like her whole life. And one of my favorite things is that she was there before the freeways. So she was there when LA was a town. And so whenever you drive around with her, we never took the freeways. We would just take all the surface streets because she knew everywhere. But what I loved about Grandma is that she didn't hate the change that was happening around her, right? She went with it. And she was better at accepting change than some of us, you know, who are, you know, decades and decades younger than her. And I remember one time listening recently to my cousin, who's a lot younger than me. My cousin was telling my grandma about gender nonconforming people. And my grandma was like 98 at the time when my cousin was telling her. And my grandma was asking a lot of questions. Well, I just don't really understand. Is it a boy or is it a girl? And my cousin was saying, you know, it's neither. And the pronoun that you refer to them is they. And she was talking to her and talking to her. It wasn't like my grandma was like, yep, okay, I get it right away. You know, asking all the questions she needed to understand it. And then without hesitation, for the rest of the night and for the rest of the weekend that I was with her, she was able to say they in reference to the person that we were talking to. And how amazing is that?
I have chills and tears. That's so beautiful.
So amazing. She's 98.
Yeah, it's that simple, people.
Yeah, it's not a problem with her.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
I love hearing that. And this is the last question that I ask all the Your Own Magic guests. How would you advise the Your Own Magic listeners to create their own magic?
Really know your story, you know your story and let yourself be guided by the things that are most meaningful and true to you.
Yes. I love this. Do a life map.
Yes.
And also, I mean, my dad, he's going to be 80 this year. I want to have his story, like how you have Grandma Bina's in audio. And so you're going to want to have your story out there for others and for whoever, maybe if you decide to have kids, you know, they're going to want to know your story. And it's just nice to have that documented. And then if you know your story, you understand your perspective and where you come from. And this has been such a beautiful, beautiful, expansive episode. Thank you so much, Heather, for coming and sharing your story.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yomis, that is a wrap. I hope this episode was expanding for you in some way, shape, or form. Feel free to visit our site at yourownmagic.com or check out my shop, eyesofaspen.com. Connect with the other Your Own Magic listeners. We would love to see more conversations started on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. So with all that being said, thank you so much again for tuning in, and I hope you have a magical rest of your day.